make this a religion, just like you do come to Sunday service at 9 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. Make this a time that we worship God together. Listen, if you are watching us for the very first time, I just want to say welcome to Reach Church. Welcome to Reach Church. We thank you so much. You could have been watching any other church, or you could have been watching something else, but you decided to watch us today. So we hope that your experience and God will speak to you on this morning. Listen, I want to get right into our word on this morning, If you have your Bibles, I'll be preaching out the New Living Translation of the Bible, And our scripture reading comes from 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 11, and I'm going to read down to verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verses 11 through 14. When you get it, say amen in your homes. Amen. Verse number 11, it reads this way. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He compiled everything he had planned to do in construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. Verse 13, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Just for a few moments, we won't be on here too long. I want you to get back to your family, because I believe this is an opportunity to connect with our families. But I want to encourage you, and I want to speak from a subject title just for a few minutes called A Productive Pandemic. A Productive Pandemic. Productive Pandemic. There's a term that's used in the automobile industry. It's called going from 0 to 60. 0 to 60 miles per hour. Engineers use it, and it's a nomenclature that we use in modern day language. And this refers to how fast a car, usually a luxury car, usually a sports car, can go from standing still to 60 miles per hour. With fast cars going from 0 to 60 and even less than 4 seconds. In other words, the car can go from standing completely still to 60 miles an hour really fast. In other words, the position of the car can change almost in an instant. And sometimes you can address that life can change in an instant. Last week, we were being told to just wash our hands and be careful. And this week we find ourselves not being able to congregate in more than 10 people at a time. Life can change fast. Life can change fast. Even myself this week, I found myself using the terminology about this pandemic that we are experiencing in the COVID-19 of going from 0 to 60. It changed very quickly. It changed almost seemingly overnight. And something is exciting about that, in the fact that we believe that God is still in control. We believe that despite the changes that's going on, that God is still in control. And we believe that he is still on the throne. And so you can be excited about the fact that God is still in control. This does not take him by happenstance. This does not take him by surprise. But he is still in control. But I want to talk about a productive pandemic. We have been praying to God and asking him that this thing is going to pass. We've been praying to him and asking him to make sure that he heal our loved ones and secure our loved ones. But what if this pandemic really didn't take God by surprise at all? What if it was something that was actually caused by his sovereignty and caused by not only his grace, but caused by his truth. Because in this text, Solomon is building the temple of God. He's working night and day with the people of God. He's working to build the temple of God. And the temple gets complete. And then the Bible says that God's presence reigns in the temple. That after Solomon prayed, God's presence reigned in the temple. He dedicates this temple to God. But then after this, God gives him some warnings about this project and about this temple. In verse 21 of that same chapter, he says, "And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled by its destruction if you disobey." God saying, thank you for raising the temple in my honor. Thank you for having a place where I can worship my people and I can meet with my people and I can meet their needs and they can make sacrifices unto me. But he says, listen, if you disobey, in other words, I'll tear this temple down. He says, listen, if you disobey, if you are disobedient, there are consequences to your disobedience. So I just want us to realize today that we can be productive in this pandemic, not just by going to the grocery store, not just by stocking up, not just by checking on our loved ones, not just by checking on everybody, but we can be productive in this pandemic when we realize that there are some things that God may want us to do inside of this pandemic. So I got 2 points that I want to give you. I won't be long in front of you. The first point that I want to give you is that in a productive pandemic, number one is that we got to receive timely correction. Receive timely correction. Verse 11, 12, but I'm going to be preaching out of 13. I just want to read it for your context. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices." And then verse 13 says, "At times, watch this, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour your crops or send plagues among you." Let me read that again. "At times, at the right time, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour your crops or send plagues among you." In other words, God is telling the people, listen, I thank you for this temple. Then he tells Solomon, listen, but don't get it twisted. At times, I might have to whip you. At times when you disobey, at times when you get outside of my will, I might have to send something to get your attention. I might have to send something to get your attention. I know that we have a sophomoric theology that believes that God would not cause anything harm on his people. I know that we have a sophomoric theology that means that he only wants to give us candy canes. He only wants to give us gifts and good things, and every good thing does come from the Lord. But God would be a bad parent if he allowed his children to go astray and did not correct them, because the Bible still declares that he disciplines those whom he loves. He disciplined those whom he loves. Watch this, Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Let me give you a verse. You can go back and read this. Check this out. And I just want you to check and see if this kind of sounds like some things that we are going through right now. He tells his children of Israel, he says in verse 58, he says, "If you refuse to obey all the words of instruction that are written in the book, and if you do not fear the glorious and the awesome name of the Lord your God," I know you with me at home. Verse 59, it says, "Then the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be so intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick." If that does not sound like what we are going through right now, I don't know what is. God can cause some things to happen. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe that God caused COVID-19. I don't believe that God is causing people to lose their lives. But I do believe that he allowed it, and he allowed it for a reason. He allowed it for a reason. Okay, Pastor Jay, why would he be disciplining us? And when you look at a country who has turned their back on God. When you look at our land, who has turned our back on God, God every now and then has to do something to show his people and show everybody that he is still God. God in the last 3 months has brought down the most powerful nations in the world. He brought down China and he brought down the U.S. with something that they could not even see. Get that. He brought down something that they could not even see, that we could not even control. It didn't matter about how much education that we have in this country. It does not matter how much infrastructure we have. He was able to bring us literally to our knees while we're fighting something that we can't even see. How can you believe in a God that you cannot see when we see a virus and we're fearing a virus that we cannot see, but we can't believe in a God that we cannot see with our own physical eyes? And so God is able to correct us. God is able to bring some things back in order. Okay, we ain't even got to go with laws and of the land. You can go into your own household. And truth be told, all of us can say that we've been lethargic with God. All of us can say that we have been lethargic with God, that we've put him on the back burner. Maybe today you're sitting in your home and saying, and testifying, Pastor Jay, you could be right. My prayer life ain't what it ought to be. My serving life ain't what it ought to be. I do things for God after I do everything else I got to do, that I haven't put him first in my life. I haven't put him first in my situation, but he's an afterthought in my life. Well, God has a way of coming from the background and back to the foreground. He tells the Israelites, he tells them, listen, you building this temple, but if you forget about me, if you disobey me, I have a way for you to remember me. I have a way that I will come back to your remembrance. And sometimes he doesn't bring it back through a glorious celebration. Sometimes he doesn't bring it back through preaching. Sometimes he doesn't bring it back through teaching. Sometimes he doesn't bring it back through glorious songs. But sometimes he brings it back through pain. Sometimes he has to cripple us. Sometimes he has to discipline us and allow us to go through something that we can look up on the hills, which comes our help, and realize that all of our help comes from the Lord. And you would say, why would be a God that's loving that would discipline his children? There is no parent that can say they truly love their children if they don't discipline them and correct them in some way. There is no parent that can see their children going the wrong way and not stem in the gap and correct them if they see them going the wrong way. A couple of weeks ago, my son Solomon, he's a big boy now, so he doesn't like dad to hold his hand to walk him to school. And so the other day I'm walking him up to the building, and everything is going fine or whatever, and I realize he don't want me to hold his hand, and so now he walks by himself, and I just look at the car, and I just kind of watch him to see where he's going, because he's a big boy. He don't want dad to be involved with that anymore. But a couple of weeks ago, Solomon, I don't know if he wanted to get to school real fast. We was on time, but for whatever reason, he took off running in the middle of the street. My son is autistic. Anybody knows that or whatever. And so this day he took off running in the middle of the street. And before he got to his fourth step, he got about 2-3 steps on me. Before he got to his fourth step, I grabbed him out of the middle of the street and I yanked his arm and I yelled his name, Solomon, watch out. Now, in that moment, y'all, I wasn't concerned with hurting Solomon's feelings. I was not concerned with the fact whether I yanked his arm too hard. I wasn't concerned with who was watching and who would misinterpret it the wrong way. All I saw was my son crossing the street and a car on his way, and I was willing to do whatever it took to get between my son and that car. Do I have a witness at home? Listen, can I tell you that God will send some stuff, allow some stuff, let you get to your knees, and you think it's pain right now. We think we on quarantine right now, but could it be the fact that God just stepped in the middle of us and destruction, that now we will look back unto him, now we'll give our money back to him, now we'll give our time back to him, now we'll give our hearts back to God, that will save our souls and our family's souls? Could it be that he was just jumping in the middle of a situation that we were about to run into destruction? Could it be that this is the best time get some stuff out of our lives? Could it be that God is correcting us to strip off some things that we don't need in the next season of our life? Could it be that the best time of our lives is actually right now when we're going through this situation, when we're going through this circumstance? Could it be that God is actually preparing us for what's next? Could it be that he is preparing us for the next thing that he has us to do? I went to the grocery store like all of you guys to get some food, and we were all stocked up, so I didn't need a lot. But last Sunday, I went to the grocery store, and my only focus was to get some bread. And walking around, it was still packed, but I noticed something when I went to the grocery store. I went down the meat aisle, and all the meat was gone. All of the pork chops was gone. All of the beef was gone. All the chicken was gone. Everything was completely gone. Went down the vegetable aisle. All the vegetables were gone. And then I went down the bread aisle, and all the bread was gone. Everything that is natural was already gone. But then I walked down on my way out through the junk food aisle, and I saw Oreos and Kit Kats and cookies and Chips Ahoy, all of those good snacks and all of those junk food that we so endure, that's so good to us but not good for us. And God spoke to me. I looked at those aisles, and I saw no meat on the aisle. I saw no vegetables on the aisles, but I saw all of this junk food stacked pile high. And during this pandemic, nobody was in the junk food aisle. Nobody was getting Chips Ahoy. Nobody was getting Oreos. Nobody I saw was getting bad stuff that people were actually fighting and racing about, trying to get some meat in their body, trying to get some vegetables in their body. And God spoke to me that in a time of trouble, this is a good time to strip off the junk. That sometimes he has to send trouble so we will stop eating the junk and get back to eating the meat. Is there anybody at home and says, during this time, I've gotten back into the Word of God? Anybody at home can say that during this time, I've gotten back to praying with my family? Anybody in this time said, during this time, I've looked at my calendar and got rid of some things that I shouldn't be involved in to get back to God and to get the junk out of my life? I know we on camera, but do I have a witness in this home? God will do some stuff that will allow us to get some junk out of our lives. And that's the good news, is because we belong to him. The good news is that we are his. The good news is that we belong unto him. And so not only do we receive timely correction, but secondly, we have to follow his turnaround steps. Secondly, we have to follow his turnaround steps. Here it is in the text. It says, verse 14, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land." So, y'all, he was talking to the nation of Israel. These are his chosen people. These are the people that he chose. These are the people that he chose to be his people. These are the nation that he chose to show you and I how his love is everlasting. These are the people that we see the story of God walk out throughout history. This is a nation. But for us who are New Testament believers, the same promises and the same principles applies to us, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that we can call upon him and he show us great and mighty things which we do not know. All those things which went to the nation of Israel also applies to those who are New Testament believers. But don't get it twisted. It also applies in the fact of obedience. There's consequences to disobeying God. There's consequences to getting outside of his word and outside of his will. But the text, watch this, y'all, it's not towards Donald Trump. The text was not written towards the nation of the United States.
It was not a letter to the CDC. It was not a letter to health officials all over the country. But he writes this letter to his people. The ones who say they are believers. The ones who lift him up. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will restore their land. He says, listen, let me just keep it plain. If the church, if those who believe in me will turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. You say, Pastor, I've been coming to church. We've been coming to church. We've been praising God. What have we do? You got to believe that God is talking about the universal church. Over the last 4 years, we've seen racial division within the church. We've seen some of our brothers and sisters stay quiet while others of our brothers and sisters can't go outside without the fear of police brutality. And the church as large has been split on issues that we should be divided on. We've called each other names except for fellow believers. Just because one is a Democrat and the other one is a Republican, we forget that we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We forget that we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. We forget that no matter our political orientation, no matter what block we was raised on, no matter what where we were, where we came from, that our first emphasis is to see every man, no matter what their color is, be saved and have the grace of God living on the inside of them. And so the church has some repenting to do. The church has some turning to do. We fought about minors and we forgot about the majors. But that's good news because it says, if my people who are called by my name. That's good news because Israel was a people who would obey God and then they would disobey God. And then God had to whap them upside the head. He had to discipline them and get them back in order, just like you and I. But check this out. I love this because God never left Israel, and he will never leave us. Even when they messed up, he was still with them. Even when they backtracked, he was still with them. Even when they forgot all about him, he was still with them. And even though we messed up, even though we put other priorities in place other than God, he didn't forget about us. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will get back to the source. So the first thing, y'all, we've been talking about this over the weeks is that we got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves. He says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humble themselves is not meaning that we think less of ourselves. It's meaning that we think about ourselves less. It means that our dependence is upon God. Our dependence is not on ourselves. Our dependence is not on our smarts and our intellect and our nation and our wealth and our economic ability. Our dependence to get on this situation, thank God for our healthcare professionals, but it's not even based upon the healthcare professionals, but it's based off the power and the sovereignty and the time of God. He says, I need you to humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. And all of us have been humbled by this COVID-19. All of us have been humbled and seen the limits to our power, the limits to where we can go. But we've also seen the limitlessness of God, that God can even bring the mighty nation of United States all the way down to his knees by fearing something that we can't even see with our own eyes. Humble ourselves. Right now, education don't matter. Our money does not matter. All that matters is that we humble ourselves before God. Does not matter what you got, what you don't got. It does not matter how much power that we think that we have. He is all powerful. He has more power than any of our prestige. He has more power than any of our intellect. He has more power than any of our plans. He is all powerful. If you think you're more powerful than God, just let the toilet paper run out. Yeah, let the toilet paper run out. As powerful as you are, you can't even find nothing to wipe your tail on, and you think you have a heaven and hell to put yourself in. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. I'm sorry, y'all, but God is all powerful. He's still on the throne, and we have to humble ourselves again and remember that he is all powerful. How I'm going to tell the God who created me that I can't do something that he asked me to do? How I'm going to tell the God who gives me life and who could take me out just like this is that I'm too busy today to worship him. I'm too busy today to pray and give him his name praise. How is my priorities going to be more than the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the heavens, the one who created things, and the one who allowed this virus, and the one with the snap of his fingers can stop it? How? Because the Bible says that if my people, if my church, now here's the thing, don't worry about your cousins that don't know God praying. Don't worry about the coworkers praying and them taking this moment seriously. But the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. And then he says, and pray and seek my face. Now, this temple dedication, Solomon has said that he prayed earnestly. He said he prayed earnestly unto God. E.M. Bounds, I'm paraphrasing, but he says nothing good can be done without prayer because prayer automatically leaves out God. He says anything that is good is done in the will and in the plans of God. And so with that being said, in this season, brothers and sisters, listen, we got to pray. And I'm not talking about now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, I'm talking about pressing into God until you meet him face to face. I'm talking about having anxiety and pressing into God until you have the peace that passes all understanding. I'm talking about having pain in your body and pressing into God because you know that he's your healer until you feel healing in your body. I'm talking about meeting the creator, the all-powerful creator. Why would we walk a life of Christianity and never experience his power? I'm talking about aggressive prayer. I'm talking about snot running. I'm talking about tears falling. I'm talking about not, you don't care who's looking. I'm talking about prayer that'll break a yoke. I'm talking about prayer that'll lift a burden. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about getting back to God where he is our source. He is our deliverer, and it's him that I depend on. There's some stuff that I have to do, and I don't know how to do it. I don't have the resources to do it. And I just say it's going to get done because God has always got it done. It ain't because I've got great plans, but it's because God is my source. Is there anybody at home and say, testify and say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I got laid off from my job because of this situation. I don't know what money is going to come from. I don't know where groceries are going to come from, but I'm believing God and I'm pressing into him because he is my source. Anybody at home just expecting God to do the supernatural in your situation, in your life? Matter of fact, I told the brothers today who's recording this, we going to come out better than ever, that I'm so excited about this next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever we got to do, because I believe that he can do exceedingly above all that I ask and think, that we can press into him and see his supernatural run in our life. Do I have a witness at home? And then last but not least, he says, listen, not only I need you to humble yourself. I'm done, y'all. And then he says, I need you to pray, but I need you to pray and to seek my face. That seek my face gives an emphasis. Listen, I need you to pray for real. I need you to pray without distractions. I need you to pray and lift me up higher than what you want on your own. And then he says, I need you to turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Here it is. I know that in church, we love to tell people, turn around two times and you're going to get a blessing. I know that we love to tell people, turn around three times and your breakthrough is coming. But the Bible declares that there are some stuff that if you want God's hand to move, beloved, you got to turn. But it ain't a turnaround for a breakthrough. It's not a turnaround for a new car. It's not a turnaround for a new house, but it's a turnaround to see God's hand reverse some situations in this life. Can I tell you, you can turn around all you want in this season, but if we don't turn and repent back to God, if we don't turn back to his face, there are some things in this season that God, only God can control. So if you at home and if you excited, if you ever got excited about turnaround, I just want you just to turn around, not for your breakthrough, but turn around for your repentance. Turn around to get some junk out of your life. Turn around like you and I to examine ourselves and say, God, I'm coming back to you. Turn around to get some stuff out of our lives, to get our hearts back to him where we're pursuing him with everything that we have, and everything that we got. And we're pursuing him with everything we got. This turnaround is for repentance. This turnaround is to live right. This to turn around is to speak right. This turnaround is to use my life for his glory and for his story. This turnaround is out of desperation. This turnaround is to realize that only God can turn around this situation. So he says to church, if my people, you at home, belong to Reach Church, maybe you don't believe belong to Reach Church and you're watching me, but you are God's people. He says, if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. He says, literally, I will restore their land. So who's the power in? It's not President Trump. We pray that our governor and our president and our city officials and our county officials will make the right decisions with God's help. We pray that they will make the right decisions, but the ultimate verdict, according to the text, is if the church does something, if believers would get serious about something, God's hand will move when he hears our voice crying out. So we have the power to turn some situations around by humility, and by prayer, and by turning from our wicked ways. We have the power to turn this situation around. Then, last but not least, I want to encourage you, don't be hasty. Because Solomon built the temple. He prayed in the temple. The presence of God went in the temple. But writers and researchers would say that it was weeks, months, years before God actually visited Solomon in the temple. In other words, before he got an answer from God, it might have been years after until he heard from God, which means that God will delay some things. God will delay some answers, and he may delay some deliverances. But it's not our point to lose heart in this season, but to continue to believe it. So if this crisis lasts 1 week, we still got to have a praise. If this lasts 18 months or 2 years, we still got to have a praise, because we know that God's timing is the best. We know that God's timing is sovereign, and God's timing is everything. And so we will continue to cry out to God, Abba Father, turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves. And so in this meantime, when we wait for our land to be healed, we can be productive in the pandemic. We can humble ourselves. We can pray unto God and press back into him. We can get some junk out of our lives and we can turn back to him. We can turn back to him. And then here it is, y'all, is that we got to have the right perspective. We got to have a changed perspective. I don't want you to have a spirit of fear, but he gave us a power, a sound mind, and he gave us power, and he gave us love. And so we got to rejoice through it. It's always ministry that can be done. You can pick up the phone and do some ministry. You can text somebody to do some ministry. Somebody needs us right now to have a productive pandemic. Am I talking to somebody at home and says, I'm going to be productive through this pandemic? I'm almost done, y'all. But last but not least, listen, it was a story of a boy. And he was at a parade with his father. And at this parade, the boy is small, and it was so packed that they packed up on the gate, and there was a gate that separated the street from the parade, and all the little boy could see was just a little bit that would come past. And because he couldn't see way down the street, he would just see things right up on them as they come past. And because it was a circus in town that was in the parade, they had animals and they had clowns and they had all kind of things going through the parade. And all of a sudden, this boy, he sees a clown. He just sees him in part. It just rushes up on him and it kind of scares him because the clown just rushes up on him. And then he looks again after being a little bit more nervous, and then he sees a tiger, and he sees this tiger coming. He jumps back out of fear because he sees this tiger coming at him. And he gets a little bit more strength. And he looks again, and this time he sees another lion. He sees a lion coming, and he jumps back out of fear because all these circus animals are currently in this parade, and he sees all of these things that will make him fearful. And his father notices that he is afraid. And the father didn't take him home. The father didn't pack up and say, "We'll come back next year when you're older." But the father just took that boy and lifted him on his shoulders. And when he lifted the boy on his shoulders, what he was afraid of before, he was no longer afraid. And he was able to sit back and enjoy the parade. Why? Because now he could see it coming and he could see it ending. Can I tell you that God is just trying to change our perspective to let us know that this will not last always? He's trying to change our perspective and let us know that we are our children. Can you feel God just putting you on his shoulders right now and saying that you are my son, you are my daughter, and change our perspective so we can just sit back and enjoy what God is doing? Listen, we all gonna go through some things. We all have been going through some things, but that does not mean that we can't marvel at the hand of God working it out. We can't marvel at how the community is coming together to serve our less fortunate. We can't marvel how families are getting back connected because of this crisis. We can't marvel about how God is doing some things and getting the gospel out to more people. There's people that are watching church, they would never watch church just because they need an answer to this pandemic. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters of Reach Church, to be productive in this pandemic. To be productive in this pandemic. Listen, y'all, sin does have consequences. Living unrighteously does have consequence. We have to search our own hearts and get the things out that God wants us to get out. We have to turn back from our wicked ways. We have to repent, and we have to chase after him. We have to put him first and put him as a priority in our life. Let me pray for you at home. Father, I love you. We praise you and we adore you and we glorify you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being a sovereign God, for being a gracious God, for being a powerful God. You said in your word that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, seek our face, turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and heal their land. So, Father God, just like that little boy sitting on his father's shoulders, Lord God, we know that trouble won't last always. So, Father God, we rest in your presence right now. We rest in the presence of knowing that it's in your hands and that you are in control. So we love you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you. Father God, we just pray for every person that's in a position right now where it seems like they won't be provided for. Father, I pray that they are provided for in this season supernaturally. I pray, Lord God, that their jobs will be sustained. I pray, Lord God, that they will have food and they will have shelter, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that nothing will come against their house. I pray, Lord God, that you would calm any anxieties and you would calm any fears right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are just lonely right now, who live by themselves, Lord God, and don't have family close and can't get to them because of this current situation. And Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you would be a friend to them. I pray, Lord God, that they can lean and depend upon you in this season. I pray, Lord God, that their intimacy will get closer to you, Lord God, that you will strengthen them like only you can. I pray, Lord God, that you will let them know that sometimes I just need to be alone with my son and my daughter to strengthen you and to encourage you. Father, I pray, Lord God, for those whose lives have been disrupted. Let them know, Lord God, that there is always a morning. Let them know, Lord God, that there is always a morning to midnight. That weeping will endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Father, we pray over this land. You said in your word that your wrath lasts only a minute. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that no matter how long that we have to deal with this just unthinkable situation, Lord God, that you are still on the throne. So we're going to praise you. We're going to shout your name. We're going to give your name glory. We're going to give your name praise. We're going to give your name honor. We're going to serve other people. Father, we're going to just glorify your name. We're going to get closer to you in this pandemic. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for correcting us. Thank you, Lord, that even when you don't cause things, you allow some things to come to humble us, Lord God, because we are your children and you love us, Lord God. We know that we can't explain why some things happen, Lord God, but we believe that you are in control. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, we've been saying that God is in control, that God is in control, and that is something that we can rest in. But I just want to tell you, the only way that you can rest in that is if you are on God's side. If you're not on God's side, listen, you want to make sure that you are in the ark of the safety. Well, you might say, Pastor Jada, that's the reason why I don't go to church. I don't go to church because it's messy people. Well, yeah, y'all, it was animals on the ark, but Noah and his family were safe because they were on the ark. I'm sure it was smelly and it was messy, and it's just like the church. It's just like you and I. We are not perfect, but you need to be in the ark. You need to know Jesus for yourself. You need to know Jesus for yourself. So you need to be saved. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. He says in his word that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, then you will be saved. And so what I need you to do, I just need you to inbox us. If you want to be saved, listen, we can have a prayer counselor. We can have a minister call you directly and walk you through the prayer of salvation. And then secondly, maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. I need you to do the same thing. Inbox us on our Facebook page. Just give us your name, your contact. We'll reach out to you just to say thank you and walk you through getting recommitted to Jesus Christ. And then lastly, you need to be connected with a church on. You need to be connected with a church on. Maybe you've been watching our live streams for some weeks, and you say, Pastor Jay, when church comes back, I want to come back to Reach Church. Or maybe you say, Pastor Jay, I've been watching y'all, but I want to go back to my family church. Wherever you are, we can help you get connected there. But you need to be around brothers and sisters who can lift you up. You need to be around some brothers and sisters that can help correct you and that can guide you along the way. So if you are that person, go ahead and inbox us as well, and then we'll contact you to help you get connected. And so we love you. We praise God for you, and we thank you. Thank you for joining us on this morning. If you're at home, y'all, and you believe that you're going to be productive through this pandemic, come on, give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Amen, amen, amen. Just a few last announcements before we leave. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Reach Church of how you've been serving and how you've been checking on each other, and folks been checking on me and my family. And so I want to say thank you to Reach Church and what you're doing. This past week, I want to give a special shout out to Alicia Morales, her and her sorority, the Sigma Gamma Rose here in Ypsilanti, as well as others, a lot of other organizations. They did a lunch. They gave away lunches here on Wednesday for students who needed lunches. And so we had a lot of volunteers that participated in helping donate, as well as some came up. Brother Torian Billings helped, and DeAndra Smith helped, and a bunch of others that I can't remember now came up and helped with us. Brother Charles, a lot of people came up and just helped with that effort. And so we're so grateful and so thankful for you helping our community with that effort. And so, and then also, I want to kind of just let you know, we will be continuing to meet live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., so make sure that you log on Facebook Live at 10 a.m. For Sunday mornings to get a word. Listen, we're going to be doing this different. I know today we didn't have our worship team. We just want to be safe because of the recommendations that came out or whatever, but we're going to try to do something different every single week just so we can keep it interesting for you guys. Just so you guys can engage God in a special way. So we'll have worship in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be doing some other things to kind of just see God differently move in this way. We're going to take this not as going backwards, but we're going to take this as an opportunity to go forward. And so on Wednesday at 7 a.m., I'll be sending this out on our Facebook page and our Instagram page, as well as through our email at 7 a.m. We'll be doing a prayer call. We'll be doing a prayer call. I want you to get on. You have nowhere to go, most of you. Praise God. Amen. You have nowhere to go. So we want you to jump on a prayer call at 7 a.m. It'll be about 10 minutes, man. I just want to pray over our church family, cover you in the God. How many people know at home that the blood still works, that it actually covers? And we have evidence of that. I can testify. My family has evidence of the blood covering us and the blood protecting us. And so I want you to jump on 7 a.m. And not only about protecting our families, y'all, but it's about us getting back to God and seeing opportunities that we can serve our other brothers and sisters in our community during this time. So we're going to be praying and lifting folks up on that. We will still be meeting in our small groups. We'll be still be meeting in our small groups. So listen, if you are already connected to a small group, if you already connected to a small group, what I want you to do is I want you to be faithful with that. But to further notice, those small groups over the next week at least will be continuing to meet by Zoom or conference call, video conference or whatever. And so I want you to take a part of that. The brothers we met today, man, it was just a powerful time just to kind of share with each other our struggles in this season and pray for each other. And so I'm so grateful for our small groups continuing to meet and continuing to push the kingdom forward. Y'all, we need each other more than ever. We need each other more than ever. And so at this time, I want to ask that you also would faithfully give to your church. Faithfully give to your church. I don't have to tell you why it's important for you to faithfully give at this time. I want to ask you to continue to faithfully give as if we are already continuing meeting. And the reason why is because we are continuously doing ministry within our community as we see opportunities to. We've been able to help students get back home. We've been able to feed folks. We also been able to give out gas cards. We've been able to do lunches and help with that effort. And so there's a lot of things that are going on. So ministry has to go forward. Needs still to get met. So I want you to continue to faithfully give to your church. Listen, if we were a church that never blessed nobody, I wouldn't care if you gave. But if we continuously to give, we continuously to give back to our community, we continuously to bless people, I want you to give according to that. And so what I want you to ask you to do, we know there's some limits, but you can use text to give. You can still give your tithes. You can still give your offerings on text to give. So you can text the word G-I-V-E to 586-630-4316. 586-630-4316. And then also you can give electronically on our Cash App. And that's our Cash App is just Reach, R-E-A-C-H 401. R-E-A-C-H 401. And then also, if you old school and you just like to give old-fashioned way, that is totally fine. We accept that as well. So you can write your check out and just mail it to us in this season. 401 South Adams Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 401 South Adams Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 48197. And we thank you for your giving. We thank you for you blessing and continue to bless your community. And also, we just ask that you would be in prayer for those who are disconnected. If you are connected in small groups this week, man, just check on somebody. We started last week, and we had some help. We're trying to contact each and every member. So if you haven't got a contact yet, you'll probably get a contact this week. We just want to check on you, see if there's any needs in the body. We were able to meet some needs, some individuals last week. Well, we want to make sure that everybody is safe and everybody is healthy. Here's the thing, y'all. I just want to say as your pastor that the COVID virus is not just about us, that it's a community virus. So I want to ask you, if all that you can do, be safe, but also stay home. Listen to the recommendations of our officials. Listen, if you're not going out blessing somebody, if you're not going out, and if it's not a necessity, come on, y'all, let's stay home. Let's stay home unless there's necessities and things that we have to do at this moment to help curb this epidemic and this pandemic that's going on. So let's be safe. Let's be a good citizen within our community. Let's follow directions. Let's be obedient. We cannot say that we are obedient to God if we cannot be obedient to man. This is possible. So I want to ask you to be obedient as much as we possibly can. We know we got to go get food and we got to go get this and got to go do that. But I'm just saying, like, let's help in this effort. I know a lot of us are young, and I know a lot of us, even everybody for the most part in our congregation, is in good health. I just claim that in Jesus' name. But even if you are in great health, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about spreading this virus to those individuals who aren't in that situation. So let's be a good community right now, and let's do what we can to curb this pandemic and see this thing go away. Why? Because it's just weird not being able to hug you on Sunday, not be able to shake your hand, and not be able to greet you. So I want you to be back more than you want to come back. Amen. Amen. Listen, let me pray over your offering, and let me pray a prayer of benediction. So if you're giving today, come on, get your cell phones in your hand, get your laptops in your hand, whatever you got. If you're doing text to give, get your laptops in your hand. I want to pray a prayer over our offering and a prayer of benediction. Let's do this. Father, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for the gifts. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you give seed to the sower. Father God, help us, Lord God, that even in this season where we're not meeting, Lord God, to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful out of principle and not out of feelings. Help us in this season, Lord God, to not fall into our feelings, but to walk by principles. So, Father God, we thank you that you give seed to the sower. We ask you to bless these gifts, turn them into multiple uses that more souls will be saved and more lives will be changed. Father, we give your name glory and praise. And this week, Lord God, we ask that you would help us, Lord God, to walk in your ways. Help us, Lord God, to repent. Help us, Lord God, to turn back to you. Help us, Lord God, to get the junk out of our lives so that we might see your glory and your presence in our churches, in our community, Lord God. And Father God, we come against any attacks in Washtenaw County and the surrounding counties, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that your hand will move as we cooperate with obedience unto you. For you said in your word that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven and heal the land. And even though the politicians may take credit for it, Lord God, we know that you are the one who will push back this virus. You are the one that will push back everything that comes against your people. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us, to you be majesty, dominion, power, and glory in your church, henceforth, now, and forever. And your church at home says amen and amen. Listen, don't high five nobody. Just air high five somebody. But y'all be good. I will see you on the prayer call on Wednesday. We'll be sending out information. And then I'll see you back on Facebook Live on next Sunday. Love you. Bless you. Where the lost are found, the found are equipped, and equipped are sent. See y'all next week.